Sight to the Blind. That was Brit Ya. I'm going to drop the title of this song in the description of this episode. Sis got an amazing story. From what I know from Instagram, Sis was a stud and all of a sudden turned her life over to Ya. Now Sis is married. So when all these LGBTQ folks talk about they were born like this, nah, fam, you ain't born like that. It was either a lack of family support in your home or a lack of a father figure or a lack of love that you saw that you emasculated yourself or you feminized yourself and making you think that, oh, you were born like this and you blocked out the trauma that caused you to be this way. Not everybody can leave that spell because this is what this matrix caters to. It caters to that spell. It caters to feminizing and emasculating opposite sexes. That's all it is. They really wasn't doing this back in the days of Noah. I mean, it was just having sex with anybody, but it wasn't as far as doing what you see now, like the boxing federation. All of a sudden now they want to have a specific category for trans athletes. Now, what do you think that's going to look like? It's going to be men boxing looking like women. You never have seen women physically go to a male sport to dominate or play. You've always seen a male in a female sport. Why? Because they know in their heart, they know that women cannot compete in a male, a male orientated sport. They know that. They know it. So what they do is easy to find feminized men. It's easy to find male to females. It's easy to find that. It's easy to find that particular genre you're looking for and create a sport out of it. They can make trans football. It would just be big burly men in wigs or in makeup. That's all it would be. It wouldn't be pure women. Like when you've seen those UFC fights with women on women, they be tearing their faces up. You seen that meme of that one white girl and talking about, yeah, I had a great fun out here, face bloody pulped. I don't know why women want to do that. What's the point? To go in the ring, get your ass beaten, and come out with brain damage. I don't get it. What would be the point of that? Just to feel like you could do what men do? Y'all just don't want to sit down. Don't y'all want to sit down and just have a mimosa at Tuesday at 3 p.m.? Don't you want that life? There's men that could provide that life for you. To not do nothing, to chill, to worship y'all, to make everything easier in your life and stress-free. Nah, y'all want to do what we do. That's what that feminist movement, it really... It's brain rot. It's gotten y'all to be like slaves. It got y'all to be equally slaves with us. To be out in the fields with us. To be on the plantations with us. Why? Why? When you could be in a house having a mimosa. Ah, I don't get it, man. I really don't get it. But let me go through this before I get into today's episode. Let's go through this Meg and Tory nonsense. Now, they rushed this whole court case. They waited 2 years, 1.5 years, to really rush this court case and have it done in a couple of days. They couldn't find the bodyguard. Then they didn't even have police testimony. They didn't even have ballistic evidence testimony. They didn't even have the crime scene photos. They didn't even bring up the doctor. They didn't even bring in the pictures of the foot. They didn't do any of that. You saw them go in and out of a building wearing color-coded clothes. Meg was wearing purple, which I told you in Gematria is 444. And what else is 444 with the color purple? It's Masonic. They go back and forth out of these buildings. You don't know what they... You just see them drawn. That's why they trumped up these federal court... federal offenses. Because if you make it federal, that means the media can't come in. So literally, you taking everything they've given you from cartoon pictures and whatever they say happened in there. It's all a stage to get what? To get black women mad at black men and equate Tory Lanez with all black men walking this earth. And just having us bicker and batter at each other. That's all it is. It's stupidity. You should look at it like, damn, our people are stupid. That's what you should look like. Look at it like as, look at these two-thirds. No matter how rich they are or how managed they are, it's the two-thirds. It's only them talking about this nonsense. Now let's go to this winter storm. Now if you live in an area where you can see the clouds and you see things changing, You know that this winter storm was not, you know it wasn't natural. You could tell it's not natural. Of course they're going to show Buffalo because Buffalo's sitting right on them lakes. But I was in Florida. So I look up in the sky when things starting to warm up. It went from 48 degrees to 75 degrees overnight. Impossible. Overnight. I looked up in the sky. Those clouds were completely man-made. I can tell when something been sprayed. You just like you see chemtrails and it mists over the sky. It mists where you know something has been sprayed. That's exactly what I saw. I saw like something had been sprayed and you see it pass by. So all those clouds from the winter storm up from up north, I saw them pass over Florida and all of a sudden get warmer. Crazy. Makes no sense to me. But people still fly in the middle of winter. And I told you before in these episodes, every winter is always cancellation in flights. Every winter, every holiday, they go through a cancellation of flights. Every holiday. Memorial Day weekend is going to be coming up. So, New Year's is going to be coming up. What do you think they're going to come back with? Oh, the flight cancellations. Because people too dumb. They don't know how to prepare a flight schedule so they wouldn't get their flights canceled. Now, I don't know what this whole big thing with Southwest is. It's just an airline that they pick that's going through cancellations just to make people spend more money and go into debt while the New Year's is coming. Because you know the economic collapse is going to happen really soon. So what's the one day they can just mess with people on? It's cancel their flights. Because then you got to spend more money to get on another flight last minute or another airline last minute. Or you got to take a hotel. Then if you're moving with family, then you got to pay for room. Then you got to pay for food. You're paying for all these extra expenses before you even get home and you don't know when you're going to get home. Then you're missing work. Then you got to pay babysitters. Like, it's all a trap. I don't know why people still chancing to fly during the holidays. It's retarded to me. And they know their baggage is going to get lost. They know they're not going to make it home to their destination on time. They know this. I don't know why people still chance it. And New Year's, everybody's going to be flocking to go somewhere because it's not under COVID restrictions. So another flight's going to get canceled or another airline's going to be picked out for this to happen. All they're doing is toying with that weather. Toying with it. Climate change is coming. There's going to be a heat wave that's supposedly coming right after this winter storm, which is going to cause what? The ionosphere to be agitated to where you're going to get wintertime tornadoes, wintertime hurricanes. They need to push this climate change through. They need to push it. And how did they did it? They did it with another ritual using Andrew Tate. I cannot stand this dude's voice. Yo, you gotta be a winner. If you're gonna be a winner, you gotta tell these women in these clothes they need to get in line, and you gotta treat them. His voice is annoying to me, like he gargling. I don't know, like he gargling. I don't know, guava. Like he gargling guava and trying to talk at the same time. I don't understand this dude. He's corny to me. But white men, particularly white men, that's like their MLK. And if y'all ain't learned, white men, watching our black tales, worshiping Kanye, how we went into that psyop, these psyops and rituals are really turning over faster than they want to. It didn't take but 48 hours for us to find out that was a ritual. It took us less than that, really, if you knew Gematria. But white men so caught up in this image of a hyper-masculine male thinking that he's speaking truth when he's not speaking no truth. It's the same thing with Kanye. They saying blanket truths to get you on their side. They think they're going against the system. The system that they are a part of. The platforms they use are a part of the system. If real truth, they will never let it out. Real truth, they'll find a way to get rid of it or find a way to mock it. Real truth. They could care less that he switches from Christianity to Islam. They want him to do that because why? Islam is the hot ticket right now for hyper or toxic masculinity. Because them sorry grown weak ass men over there getting an upheaval about women wearing hijabs. All you see pictures and videos of them are playing around in the dirt and shooting AKs in each other's legs. Misfiring or at weddings or at parties shooting guns in the air. That is the most weakest man, ass man thing I ever seen out of that particular religion. And didn't think they're going to get pardoned or praised or rewarded with 72 virgins. They can't satisfy one woman, let alone 72 virgins. It's the weirdest religion. And it's all based off of Paul's words with women should cover up and based off our scriptures. Every masterpiece has a cheap copy. And that's the whole point of Andrew Tate. That's the whole point of him. It's to get out here and talk all this crazy nonsense and for emasculated men who have been ran over by women, have been rejected by women, and he can't get women because they see women being narcissistic, or the women they want are narcissistic. The women they want are playing them or not paying attention to them. So then they're emasculated. So they need a masculine figure. Just like Israelites who nobody was paying attention to. The camps, nobody pays attention to those camps online. Those who still follow those camps, no one pays attention to them. If you go to the head leader of IUIC, no one pays attention to his Instagram. The only time you see him is when he's on TV, need to do something. Even then, he still does not get the same representation as some of us who are speaking that truth, who aren't part of these camps. That means the Most High is not allowing them to be successful. He's allowing them not to spread their message anymore. But some Israelites flock to it. Like Kanye, oh, he's speaking that truth. He's going to get the system because he says black Jew. And look where it's at. It bared no fruit. It went nowhere. He never said any scriptures. He never backed up what he was saying. He never gave facts. It was just his opinion. And you would have to go dig and dig for the facts. So he really didn't wake anybody up. Everybody listened to that and it was all over for it. Now we're back on Andrew Tate now. And then he gets in a fight with a 19-year-old. He gets in an argument with a 19-year-old. And then he does the whole pizza thing. The pizza is what gave away the location. Like I said, if it's too good to be true, then it probably is. Then he came out, then he was released. Then his brother doing his hand in a pyramid symbol. Every time you see him, he doing that thumbs in a pyramid. Oh, I got 33 exotic cars. Like who at a 19-year-old talking about, I want to show you my cars. That is the most, you know where this comes. You know why I think this is so lame? Because some of us grew up with the WWF. You know who talked like that? Ric Flair talked like that. Randy Macho Man Savage talked like that. Mr. Perfect talked like that. Razor Ramon talked like that. Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, talked like that. We're used to hearing those type of scripts. But apparently, because all white men or what more weak men watch is wrestling. So all you hearing is those hyper-masculated scripts and thinking, oh, all men talk like this. This is what it is to be a man. You have to talk like this to be a man. Bro, we live with it. Ultimate Warrior in those days, Ultimate Warrior, Legion of Doom, Bret Hart, all those dudes we listened to growing up in the movies that we had those 90s movies with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. We had the most hyper-masculine movies and cartoon characters of all time. And I think emasculated men feel like they're losing their masculinity through the image of what they think masculinity is. They think they're losing it, so they have to find an image that's hyper-masculine for no apparent reason. This comes from having a weak father or no father or having no sense of self. No self-worth. So they cling to, oh, I want to spread the truth. I want people to listen to me. Then they say, well, there's an image that I can listen to. He says and thinks the same thing I think. So he's going to be my champion. He my hero. And y'all don't understand. They don't learn from this from J. Edgar Hoover and COINTELPRO when he said there will never be another black messiah unless we create him. There will never be a hero. There will never be a Neo in this matrix unless they create them. And you're going to watch it bear no fruit. You're going to be embarrassed. All these rituals happening way too fast and we're deciphering way too fast. This Andrew Tate thing, it would have gone on for 2 to 3 years and no one would really, everybody's minds would be completely blown. Gone. Because you wouldn't be able to decipher the spells quick enough. All this information and technology and all these things about numerology is out there, and people still don't want to listen to it. People still don't want to get into it. Still don't want to decipher it. And it would help you. So you wouldn't be on social media like a dumbass vouching for somebody that they bring up. Somebody they created. Oh, you're hating because he's a Muslim. Oh, you're hating because he speaks truth. Oh, you're not. Oh, everybody's a part of the system, but you're not. I'm not. How am I part of the system? Fam, you ain't been a part of the system if you ain't been called an anti-Semite yet. You ain't been part of the system if you literally, they don't set traps for you. You ain't been doing this. Oh, you used to do it. Fam, the work don't match the past. And that's what you guys gonna have to understand. When you start getting into this work, you make sure your work don't equate your past. That your work outlives your past. That the fact that they can't bring it up anymore, because that's not who you are. You're completely different. You're completely brand new. They can't say that. He went from reality show and he kept doing them symbols, kept doing every interview he was doing. He kept doing them symbols. Thumbs in the pyramid, thumbs in the pyramid, thumbs in the pyramid. Then saying their numerology, 33. Then going after the climate change girl. Then to come find out that when he was arrested, the same country he was arrested in had a sting operation or a organization was to stop trafficking, and the acronym was Greta. Look that up. The acronym of it was Greta. Like I said, it's all a ritual, and it's all being deciphered faster than we ever could imagine. Which makes this all funny to me, that people still believe in the truth of this matrix when it's in front of their face, and they still the ones talking about, oh, well, I'm looking for the truth, or I speak the truth. Until it comes to an image that touches their soul and touches their spirit. I'm going to get into that later. When I talk about every masterpiece has a cheap copy. And some of you don't understand, you are starting to be a cheap copy instead of a masterpiece. So let me smooth over last week's episode, because I know some of you're puckered, your bow was puckered when I said the things I said. So let's get into that. Nah, you mad? The last episode, you mad? Bah, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. You'll be all right. Walk it off, Chief. Walk it off. I don't care about nobody's feelings when it comes to these facts. When it comes to the truth, I sit back and watch my people and be ashamed and embarrassed the way they act sometimes, even though I know they are part of the 2/3. And this is what you should look at in your own particular race, your own particular nation. If you don't know what biblical nation you come from, just look at your race then. Just look at it. Some of us can take shame when we look at our people acting a fool and acting stupid, because we know the heart, the foundation of this foolishness. We know where it lies. We know how we got here. The whole point of this awakening is to know and take accountability for what we have done, or what our forefathers have done against the Most High. And like I said before the last episode, some of you in these European nations, the Asian nations, and the Hispanic nations, you haven't been tested. You have not been tested or been held accountable for what your people have done. And you sit here and say, well, that's such a long time ago. And that's pretty much how most of you races work. But the point of this awakening is for us to put in front of your face now what you have been doing. All this crap about from the darkness to the light, all that Luciferian stuff. All it is them knowing that the Most High was going to expose this world for what it is. So everything is going to be laid bare. We haven't gone into light. What light have we gone into? If anything, it's the reverse. Because the day of Yahuwah is not light, but what? Darkness. They playing with your mind. So I look at my people and was like, man, I'm embarrassed the way they act. I'm embarrassed the way they are hypersexual. I'm embarrassed the way they're teaching their children to be raised as celebrity children. I can't stand it. I pray for my people sometimes. Do you other nations, Hispanic, Asian, and European, do you pray for your own people? Or you just say, oh, or you do what you've been doing? Oh, it's just the Republicans. Oh, it's liberals. Oh, it's conservatives. Because that's what you do well. They try to compartmentalize. At the end of the day, it's all European. It's all white. All this foolishness you're seeing, all white. Majority of it, all white. No matter what you do, no matter what side you pick, white. All this foolishness, all this sex trafficking, child trafficking, the symbology, the fashion houses, all mocking sexual child abuse, all of that, white. Do you sit back and say, damn, why are my people so wicked? Why do they act like this when they get in power? I can see why the Most High uses them. I can see why the Most High has hatred for a particular nation. The only nation he hates sinners, but in this particular nation of Edom, he can't stand them. Look at his control. Every country he has gone into, he exploited it, murdered, and then whited out. Sometimes you need to sit back and have a little bit of shame about your people. Because running from it ain't going to help. We tried to run from it. Some of us today are still trying to run from it. Are trying to deny why things happened to us was based on curses. Based on what we decide to do today, which is deny the Most High, which is to call the only begotten Son a Greek name, to not ever participate in the feast days and the Shabbats, and not wanting to learn how to please the Most High. This spell, this curse is still amongst our people. We want to do everything but. So when we look at what's popular, we chase after what's popular. You can see why we ended up in slavery. You can see why we ended up in tragic endings. Because we go chase after what we see. So first, when this awakening happened, the first thing we did with those who were really awakened to the truth, the very first thing we did was take accountability for what our forefathers did, because we felt some shame. And that was the whole point of this prophecy, of waking up, that we would remember ourselves, that we would remember what our forefathers did. And I said this many times on this podcast. We weren't there under Mount Sinai to accept this covenant. We were born into it. If we denied it, we would have a fast ending to our life. We wouldn't see life. I feel bad for our people before who were in curse, who were in blindness, who didn't know who they were and went to the grave not knowing. We are in a privileged situation to know who we are and to know how the devil works. Before, we didn't know. Even in the early half of our lives, we didn't know nothing. We thought this was the world, and up and down, this is what we had to accept, and we just had to live in it. And then we were mingled in these religions where we could do a little bit of good and then do a little bit of bad, that we could even itself out, that we really didn't have to try for true repentance, that we really didn't have to follow any feast days except the ones we knew were popular. I know some of you still did Christmas. I know it. I know it's tough. It's hard to pull yourself out of it, but it's the spell and the curse that you keeping yourself stagnated in your growth by continually to observe these holidays,
even if you try to observe Passover and the feast days is coming up, the dedication of the altar in its proper place and its proper season on its proper calendar, even if you did that, you still, it's still not the same energy. You're playing with it. Because you feel good when you're in that holiday spirit. You're around a lot of family members when you're in that holiday spirit. You feel like cooking more. You feel like drinking more. You feel like partying more. When it comes to these feast days in the Most High, it's crickets. Because not everybody is awakened to these feast days. Not everybody's participating. No one's Instagramming. No one's TikToking. So people on the outside looking in, it makes it seem like what we are doing is too hard to understand. That it's no fun. The Most High is nothing but giving his set apart days time for you to have fun in. Just because the government don't give you time off doesn't mean that should stop you from having a good time during these feast days. See, the problem is with Christianity, it made the Bible seem rigid. Even though these people don't participate in any of the laws, it makes it seem rigid. It makes it seem crazy. Like, and what they're doing right now is to make Christianity look crazy. Make it look like the KKK, the original KKK. That's what they're doing. They're already starting with white Christian nationalists. They're already starting it. They're already trying to bring back old school KKK, Baptist Christians. They're already creating such a stigma with scripture that does not talk about them. They're creating such a stigma about it. People do not want to open up the word to find out what it is. Because like I said before, no one has shame about their own nation. So no one sit back and say, damn, white folk is ruining the scriptures, ruining this awakening, and ruining this country. No one wants to ever say that. It ain't liberals, it ain't Republicans, it ain't conservatives, it ain't independents, it ain't the FBI, it ain't the CIA. It's all controlled by one bloodline. And I said this before on Instagram. I said, when it comes to wickedness, when it really comes to wickedness, even if you go through the scriptures, when it comes to wickedness, we did it to destroy ourselves. We didn't go nowhere. We had our own land. We did not go, and we did not want to conquer, go anywhere else unless the Most High told us to. He never said, go up north to conquer. He didn't say, go to the far east to conquer. He didn't say, hey, get into this boat, go all the way onto this other country to conquer. He never gave us those commandments. Everything we've done, we've done it righteously. The Most High cannot abide and let sin multiply. The reason why you see the world the way it is, because sin has multiplied outside of the biblical nations. That's why things are multiplying. And no one's ever really had to take an account or have been taken accountability for their bloodline's action. It's just piling sin upon sin upon sin from these particular nations. We are the nation that was picked to keep cleaning ourselves out. We had to continually cleanse ourselves. Regardless of what leader or what king we put on top of our people, we had to continually cleanse ourselves. We go into captivity, out of captivity, into captivity, out of captivity. So we could learn these lessons that we're learning today. The rest of these nations ain't learning none lessons. They put children in political power. Then they want to be trans. Then they want to be non-binary. Then they be homosexuals. Then they be screwing dogs. Then they pedophiles. No one paid for that. It's just sin turned itself over into death and destruction. But the Most High didn't send Edom. He didn't send Ishmael and all these other biblical nations into slavery like we were sent into slavery. Those days are coming, though. You got to know those days are coming. That's the only way these nations outside of us is going to ever learn, through captivity. Being humbled. And that's what captivity is. It's to humble you. Oh, you don't want to serve me? Go serve him then. So you see how bad it is. I want you to serve me so you can be blessed, but you don't want to serve me and do it my way. You want to do it your way. And that was the whole point of script. This is really the whole point of the Bible is this. You don't want to serve me, go serve everybody else and see how they treat you. You know those curses are going to eventually kick over. Some of you think, oh, I'm not going to ever go into captivity. I'm immune. Christians right now think they're immune to captivity. They truly believe that the New Testament, it frees them from judgment from Old Testament. Everybody's on that high horse. As long as you say Jesus is the Savior and you can post that on Facebook and Instagram, you think you do not have to answer for your ancestors. Hello? Look what happened to us. It wasn't two generations. It was a while ago. It had to be what? More than 40 or 50 generations past since the days of Jerusalem being trampled? That our forefathers, not even what, two or three generations ago, were still in slavery? When he say it, it's going to happen. Enoch's been saying it. Yahusha's been saying it. Yah been saying it. Whoever leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Now, the people who put our people through all this foolishness, they are dead and gone. But I bet you the people who are not taking accountability for what their ancestors did to our ancestors, they are the ones who get washed up in this. They're going to be walking around with their lips poked out. Why'd this happen to us? It was so long ago. The first part of waking up is really having shame about what your people have done or are doing in this world today. Just as we have had shame about what our forefathers did all those years ago. Once you start there, then you build your foundation of how can I make this right for myself and for my bloodline? How can I close these generational curses? That's what you ask the Most High. How can I make this right with you? Tell me what you need me to do to make this right with you. We've done that. Just because you're not mentioned biblically in these scriptures does not mean you can't get on your hands and knees and ask the Most High, what can I do to close this generational gap? What can I do to make it right for what my ancestors have done? Not only to you, but to your children. What can I do? I bet you he will put you to work. And I say this because I want you to be saved. Yes, through faith, but I want you to be saved by doing something. You have to do something in this work, in this walk. Let's go to Enoch 38. Parable of the first. When the assembly of the righteous shall be manifested and sinners be judged for their crimes and be troubled in the sight of the world, when the righteous one appears in the presence of the righteous themselves, who will be elected for their works. Elected for their works. Now, some of us already have a generational blessing once we turn back to the Most High. We are the firstborn. So we've been through our stuff. So we're set apart differently. Okay? That is why we want you to be set apart with us. So you can see, so you can remove yourself from the judgment of sinners and the judgment of this world. Not for you to serve us, not for you to get on your knees and kiss our robes and kiss our feet. We're not even asking for that, to tell you the truth. None of us are. None of the awakened Israelites are trying to make white folk, Asian folk, and Hispanics get on their hands and knees to us. We are not asking that. What we are asking you to do is something that we are doing ourselves. We would never ask anything of you that we wouldn't do ourselves. We're asking you to drop the religion. We're asking you to actually exalt properly the name of the Father and the Son, and to stop these pagan days. That's literally all we're asking from you. We're not trying to put you on the other side and treat you like a redheaded stepchild. I should have said a redheaded Edom child because Edom was red. But we're asking you to participate. Through you and through us, we uplift each other. Because then the word becomes stronger. The bond becomes stronger. When the righteous one appears in the presence of the righteous themselves, who will be eclectic for their works, weighed by Yahuwah, Sabaoth. And when the light of the righteous and the elect who dwell on the earth shall be manifested, where will be the habitation of sinners be? And where the place of rest for those who have rejected Yahuwah Sabaoth? It would have been better for them had they never been born. When too, the secrets of the righteous shall be revealed, then shall sinners be judged, and impious men shall be afflicted in the presence of the righteous and the elect. So, when you see this world falls, now, what you see happening right now is the fake prophecy. What you're seeing is a fake prophecy. Like the saying goes, you know, every masterpiece has a cheap copy. This is what you're seeing the world through a fake prophecy right now. It has to be the fake prophecy first, so you see the real one that comes later. The fake prophecy is to get people on certain sides, to push them all into one side, on Satan's side. So when the real prophecy comes, now you'll look like, whoa, we have peace. We have everything we wanted. We went through all these wars. So now you're going to be pissed off at the Most High, or some people are going to be pissed off at the Most High. Like, wow, we have peace now. Why are you punishing us now? That's what it's going to look like. That is why it's starting. That's why all these the fake Euphrates River drying up. The Euphrates River is not even on the Middle East. It's not, nothing happened in the Middle East. I ain't gonna say nothing happened, but most biblical prophecies and biblical wars and most of the Bible was in Africa. And I posted about this on my Instagram, Sight to the Blind. I showed you, Africa is big. You're gonna try to tell me that the Most High, who has called us the apple of his eye, above all nations, and all nations to him is vanity and dust and spit. He said this. Okay, so I'm coming out of my mouth sideways. That's, he said this. These are his words and his prophet's words. He would give up a fertile land like Africa that you could fit United States in, maybe twice. And you could fit all the European, you could fit a lot of nations inside of Africa, that he will give his people their flocks, their cattle, their vineyards, a tiny, tiny piece, sliver of land that's no bigger than Jersey. The people he said what's the saying? The people are more than the sand of the sea. He would put all those people, all those generations of people who have inheritances that to look after. He would put all that in that tiny little sliver called Israel. So now they're talking about all the Antichrist, Shlomo, something, something. That's not it either, because the Antichrist is going to be more political. He needs to be on the world stage. There needs to be he's going to be a good politician, a good lawyer. He's going to be able to woo you. So I'm sure it's going to, whoever the Antichrist is going to come out of the European Union, somewhere in that mix. He's going to come out of that European blood, those 13 satanic bloodlines. He's coming out of that. And they trying to establish the third temple, which that is not the biblical lands. So like I said before, it has to be a fake prophecy going on in order for you to get Satan, so for you to go to Satan's side. So when the real prophecies start happening, you're not going to be mad at Satan. You're going to be mad at the Most High, because everything is going to be calm Once the Antichrist comes in and promises world peace, and it's going to be a little bit of peace, and everybody's going to be happy, and well, as happy as they think they can be, when everybody's going to be calm, and everything's going to be chilled, everything's going to be, it's going to work itself out with this, you know, world digital currency. Everything is going to be okay. It really won't be, I mean, having celebrities at this point, at that point, will be pointless, because now everybody's going to be locked in. Locked in and entertained of what they need to be entertained with. This has to happen. As soon as it does, that's when the real prophecy comes through. And then y'all going to be, oh, the Most High is pissed off at us for what? That's what it says in the end. Even though people know it's going to be time for prophecy and proper time for judgment, they're going to be so stiff-necked that they won't repent, which is crazy to me. Imagine not repenting. Even though you know you're getting hit with those insects that's going to be sniping at you, all those biblical plagues from Egypt, imagine going through all those plagues and still never repenting. That's how upset and stiff-necked people will be in the end, and you can kind of see it. You can understand with all the technology they're doing with phones and TV and entertainment, you can see how people are going to be stiff-necked. People literally one good movie character away from literally removing themselves from off this planet. I mean, spiritually and mentally removing themselves. You can see it. Look at. I remember when Anthony Mack, you know, the guy that played Falcon and supposedly the new Black Captain America. He said this one thing that I really perked my ears up. He said, movie stars aren't movie stars anymore. He said, celebrities are not celebrities anymore. No one's saying, I want to be Anthony Mack. I want to be, I don't know, damn, now I got a brain freeze with celebrities. No, people say, I'm not wanting to be Tom Cruise. I don't want to be Brad Pitt. What I want to be is the characters that I see Brad Pitt play. So he was making the argument that no one no longer wants to be a celebrity. It wants to be the character. They want to be the Hulk. They want to be Captain America. They don't care who plays. They want to be the character. I mean, look at the trend of the Wednesday girl. No one knows who that Spanish girl is. No one knows. When she hopped on the scene, no one can tell me what movie she was in before that or what TV show she was in before that. No one knows. No one cares. What they see is, I want to be this character. And they watch you do it. See, this is the whole point of MK Ultra. This is the whole point of symbolism. This is the whole point of them doing colors and gematria. It's all adding into you removing yourself spiritually and mentally into a character they've created using color, using math, using music, and putting it all together so you're a wishy-washy, you don't know who you are. So you accept anything. That's literally slavery. What we went, which is funny to me, it's a curse. What we went through is what all these other nations who are denying the Most High are going through right now. They don't even know if they're part of Japheth's line, Edom's line, Ashkenaz's line, Gog and Magog's line. They don't even know. All they know is they no longer want to be male and female. They no longer want to be the gender or the sexuality that they came in with. All they know is, I don't want to be a human being. I want to be something completely different. Tell me what I should be and I'll be it. Show me what's popular or what's mainstream that's going against so quote unquote God. Show me that and I'll be it. So you can understand how in the last days people won't repent, because their mind's going to be totally gone. Their spirit totally gone. They're already doing what CIA's biggest dream. It's to literally remove yourself, detach yourself from reality, detach yourself from your spirit. So then when judgment comes, you won't know how to repent. You don't know how to be humble, because the characters you see on TV won't humble or aren't humble. And that's what a lot of people get at me. Oh, why you always talk about the devil's tricks? I got to talk about the devil's tricks, because those are the tricks that people need to see. In order for me to pull you out of a matrix, you need to see what's around you. You need to see the numbers. You need to see the colors. You need to see the symbols. I could literally post nothing but scripture and no one would get it. Why no one would get it? Because their brains are still stuck in a matrix where there is no scripture. There is no interpretation. There is no discernment. So unless I show you the devil's tricks and mock you with it by exposing you to it, then it starts to look corny. And no one wants to look corny. I noticed this about waking up. No one wants to be corny and out of the loop. That's the one thing I loved about this awakening after you 3 years in. Before, it wasn't a lot of people agreeing with what I was saying or what anybody was saying. We were trying to warn people, hey, this was going to happen. Even in scripture, we are the people. This is scripture. This will happen. This will happen. And everybody rejected it. But when more and more people started flocking to pages that were speaking the truth, then the people who were outside had a decision to make. They had to either be stiff-necked to it, or they can just keep, they can peek from the outside looking in and say, well, damn, Then they see the comments and they start to look stupid. No one wants to look, at the end of the day, no one wants to look dumb. No one does. I get it. No one wants to look stupid. So people are going to be awakened by us exposing the things that now seem corny. Every celebrity now, they now pay attention to celebrities making those goofy hand symbols, the okay hand symbols over the eye of Horus. Now they're seeing it. Now it's like, they're trying to still hold on to their favorite celebrity though, but they look at it a different way now. And that's the whole point. And I use this analogy. Let's go to Matthew, which is Matthew. I'm gonna start saying the Hebrew names only. Matthew, 10:13. I'll start at 10. 13:10, I'm sorry. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speak you unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now imagine today's world. If Yahushua was here today, why do you think he said that just like he said it in his day? Why do you think he said that? Now imagine what's around him. The Yehudim is around him. Other nations are around him, even the Canaanites. Other nations are in Jerusalem. Since Jerusalem fell, was already done, where do you think everybody was at? Everybody was everywhere. What kept sinners out of our nations? Righteousness. No one came near or came unto us if they weren't righteous. Do you understand now? Do you understand that being righteous repels nations, repels people? The only time that nations touched us is because we were trying to chase after their nations, after their sin. But when it came to everything was righteous, no one came near us. You had to come correct to be around us. And the Most High wouldn't allow certain nations to be around us. But when everything was destroyed, there was no rod of righteousness. So everybody came and go as they pleased. So the people that Yahushua was talking about or talking to, he knew they were already under demonic influence. They were already brainwashed. They were already scared of death. So they were already running around talking about YOLO. Okay, so they didn't hear anything. And of course, you know Herod and how Rome and Greek were with little children, with animals. I talked about this on my Instagram, how they were sick like that. That was coming across the border. All of that was coming across the border with nobody stopped them. So going back and forth, pedophile, bestiality, trans, homosexuality, all that's running rampant around Yahushua. So he knew their minds were already gone because they were more scared of death because they didn't understand how to conquer death through righteousness. They thought, yo, this is the last life we get. We got to go out. Just like people today on this YOLO kick. Well, you got to do you. You got to be happy. Life is short. So, for whoso has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not and hearing not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Yeshua, salvation, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Okay? Now, imagine Satan's imitation of this. Like I said before, every masterpiece has a cheap copy. Jesus Christ is a cheap copy of the masterpiece. Satan is going to use his word, use Yahusha's words as a cheap copy. Okay? So let's go back. So if I would have said, and like say anybody, let's say a Freemason, a low-level Freemason, or somebody who wants to be a part of the occult, and he goes, why do you speak unto them in gematria, colors, symbology, math? Why do you speak this way? And Satan would have answered them just like Yahusha, wouldn't he not? He would say, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of my kingdom, but to them it is not given. So he created all these secret societies to talk through numerology, through gematria, through colors, through symbols, because he knew the mainstream world would not understand them, even though they're right in front of your face. Just as Yahusha was right in front of everybody's face to tell them, hey, I am the light. Follow me. I came from my father. He said this multiple times. He didn't withhold that information. He told them, I came to my father's name. I'm doing my father's work. It's me and the father that are one. He didn't give out any confusion. He told you just the way it is. Satan does the same exact thing if you paid attention. But like I said, to us, it wasn't given to us before to know what 33 meant, 666 meant, Sumerian gematria, numerology, the pillars of Boaz and Jason. It wasn't given to us to know their secrets. But because the Most High is now awakening us and laying this world bare, now we have the spirit. And like I said, once you understand the masterpiece of the Ruach, fam, you can decipher the cheap copy. That is why I do what I do. This is why I always talk gematria and numerology, because it's all set up that way. Just like the Ruach HaKodesh is set up spiritual, Satan don't have no spirit. How are you going to give you his spirit? Some of you, this is the funny thing about Christians. They believe Satan is after them. It's a lot of Christians across the country. Satan cannot be everywhere at once. So every Christian believes that Satan individually has 1,000 Satans coming to attack them, which is stupid to me, because Satan's not doing that. Satan can't split himself in multiple versions of himself to go torment Christians. Why? Because he knows. Satan knows that's not who he's after. He knows who this prophecy is about. He's been on this world since its beginning. He know exactly who the Most High is protecting. He know exactly what the Most High's rules are. That's the way he knows how to break them, to get you to break them. He knows if he can just skim closely to the masterpiece, if he can just make a cheap copy that literally skims the masterpiece, he can get you away from what the masterpiece was about. He knows that. That's why it sounds so good. That's why it feels so good on your flesh. He knows this. That's why people can't decipher or discern what the Ruach HaKodesh is or to the Kundalini spirit in these churches. I can't tell you how many countless videos I've seen in Christian churches, and I'm jumping up and down, screaming and rolling her head and all this other stuff. They think it's the Holy Spirit. They think that's righteousness. Like I said, you can skim it. If you skim the masterpiece and make a cheap copy off it, it makes it so good that you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know how to depart from it, because in your mind, it's real. In your mind, it feels good. And at that time, That's exactly what was running around. All these different religions, all these different cults, even the Yehudim that was running behind Yahusha every chance they get. Why do you think they were running behind Yahusha every chance they get to go find him? When the masterpiece show up, the cheap copy gets scared. When the real children wake up, who would happen? The cheap copies get scared. Different denominations and religions. Oh, I can't tell you how many videos I've seen of Christian truthers trying to debunk Israelites. But that's what I'm trying to expose to you guys. Is when you find when you find the true masterpiece of what the foundation and what everything is about, you're going to see a lot of cheap copies get irritated. So Satan would have the same type analogies that or parables that Yahusha would have. So therefore, I speak to them in math, numerology, colors, symbols. I speak to them this way. Because they seeing not and hearing they not. They hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So that's why a lot of people are confused about gematria and numerology. Oh, it can't all be about numbers. That's Satan's Ruach. Satan's Ruach is numerology. It's math. Why do you think there's math in music? There's math in frequencies. It's math in 5G. It's math in rituals. It's math in the Super Bowl. You think they just pick Rihanna out of nowhere for no reason because she's talented? I mean, she is. But you think why do you think they pick Rihanna all of a sudden? If you ran Rihanna's name through gematria, it will come out to 88. And what have they been doing this whole time since August 8th, this lion portal? It's numerology. Why do you keep seeing eights? Why do you keep seeing different versions of eight? Numerology. It's all set. That's Satan's spirit. It's numerology. It's technology. Satan don't have a ruach. So what's his cheap copy? What is Satan's cheap copy? Technology. Why do you think he wants y'all to be an AI? Why do you think he wants to put chips all up in you? Why do you think you through these mRNA messenger DNA sequence coding vaccines? Why do you think he wants you in? Why do you think he's doing that? To give you his spirit, to give you his blood. Not, you know, figuratively, but metaphorically, to give you his bloodline. That's what he's doing. Because he knows the people he raised up, they have no promises. They have no blessings. He knows this time, the time that these people have are short. He knows these people already accepted his rites and rituals to be in his good services. He knows there's no redemption, no salvation for them. Just as he knows there's no redemption, salvation for the angels who sinned with him. Who rebelled out of heaven. He know exactly what the Most High going to do. He know exactly how the Most High's laws are. And he know the Most High do not lie about one word he has ever said. From the beginning to the end, the Most High has not wavered. When he said it's going to go to fruition, it's going to come into fruition. Even when he could remove all of us and start brand new, he repented from making humans. Repented from making man. Because he saw what our works were going to be. He saw what kind of stupidness we were going to do. You think he didn't see this from the beginning? He was already in Revelation by the time Enoch came in. He knew. I don't think y'all give the Father enough credit. He knows exactly what you're going to do before you do it. So some of y'all get punished and you be like, damn, this came quick, because he knew what you were going to do. I can't tell you how many times I get caught. I know exactly where it come from. As soon as I think about doing something and a little bit of affliction come upon me, I know exactly what I did and know exactly what I've done. Because he already knew. He knows my path. He know if I'm going to go left. He know if I'm peeking right. And when you in that ruach, when you in that masterpiece, then you can tell when you're bouncing off the walls. You can tell when you graze judgment. You can tell. I can feel when I'm about to graze judgment. So when you have the cheap copy, fam, you're all over the place. The walls ain't walls. They rubber bands. You just bouncing from one side to the other. Bouncing. That's all you're doing. And you think you're doing it right. And it don't have to be a wide rubber band. It shouldn't be feeling like a rubber band. It should feel like a sturdy wall. A wall, literally a wall with spikes. And you just great, ouch, you know better. It should feel like that. But at the same time, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy. So those who follow Satan and his prophecy and his foolishness, they know what's going to happen to them. They accepted it. Why do you think they call it the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits? Just like Yahushua came into this world for a purpose and to die on the cross, there's people in that specific society, they grew up. That's all they know. They grew up as wanting to be Jesuits because they think it's the kingdom of heaven. That's what those two keys mean. And the Roman Catholic symbol with the hat and the two keys on the side, one means the key to heaven, one means the key to hell. And they think the Roman Catholic Church is the gatekeepers to that. So those children that grew up around them or around that particular religion, they really truly believe if I go to work for the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, and I die on the cross, I would be on the same plane or the same level as Yahushua. They truly believe this. So Satan has his cheat, but he got his own little prophecy with his people. He's not going to tell you. That's why he kept giving them. Okay, you want a $45 million mansion? Do this, do this, do this. Here, you can have it. It's yours. But he know that receipt going to come due. He know that judgment coming. So, of course, he's going to make his people feel good through a fake prophecy, through a cheap copy of prophecy. So to make you feel like, this was it? This was the real thing? Nah, man, I'm better than God. I'm cool. I'm better than y'all. This ain't nothing. He's going to fool them this way. And like I said, I talked about in Deuteronomy 32, I talked about that glittering wet sword, that wet sword he coming with that's going to dip into the blood of sinners. He not playing about that. But let's go to Enoch 98. But in those days, blessed shall they be to whom the word of wisdom is delivered, who point out and pursue the path of the Most High, who walk in the way of righteousness, and who act not impiously with the impious. They shall be saved. They shall be saved. If you walk the way or the path of the Most High. What is the path of the Most High? It's trying to do the Shabbats. It's trying to do the feast days. It's trying to live holy, not part of anything this world has going on. So really, you want to be part of the masterpiece. You don't want to be part of the cheap copy. You want your real, like for ladies, you want your real hair, right? You don't want the cheap copy. I don't know what y'all call these front lace wigs with the baby hairs on them. You don't want that. Don't at that point in time. Don't it look silly to you? Aren't you tired of seeing the uneven and the uncolorized part and the glue from the top of the back? Like, don't you? That's the cheap copy. It may look good in pictures. Don't it look good? It may look good in the club with low dim lighting. Shh, I know it look good to you. I know it look good to the brothers. But it's not the masterpiece. You are the masterpiece. When you came into this world, you didn't come into this world with an open closure. No. You came in with your hair laid naturally. The cheap copy has gotten you to not see the masterpiece in you. So everywhere you look is the cheap copy. And because you don't know what the masterpiece no longer looks like, you assume the cheap copy is, that's what's it. That's what's scrambling a lot of y'all's minds when it comes not only to yourselves, but it comes to the word. You're going after the cheap copy because it looks good and it feels good. The masterpiece doesn't always look good. And it really, it doesn't always make you feel good. It's supposed to clean you out. It's supposed to cleanse you. I'm going to hit you one more Enoch. Enoch 41:1. After this, I beheld the secrets of the heavens and out of and of paradise, according to his divisions and the, of the action of mankind, as they wait in there, as they wait it there in balances. I saw the habitations of the elect and the habitations of the holy, and there my eyes beheld all the sinners who denied Yahuwah of glory, and of whom they were expelling from there and dragging away as they stood there, no punishment proceeding against them from Yahuwah. So I'm assuming we about to wait in line for judgment. So I guess what Enoch saw was all the sinners grouped together. And like I said before, the righteous would see the affliction of the wicked, the affliction of sinners. So everybody must be standing around on one side or the other. So they must be seeing some of us going into paradise, or what paradise looked like. And the sinners who had denied Yahuwah, denied the path of the Most High, had to sit there and watch what they wasted all their lives denying. Like I said, they'd be wishing they'd be never born. They should have been never born for not seeing this glory or seeing what Enoch saw. So he don't say they were walking away. They don't say they were running away. They don't say they're like, oh, okay. They gave a head nod and be like, all right, that's where y'all going. We're going over here. It didn't say that. What did it say? It said dragging away. Now you imagine. You imagine who dragging them? Not other humans. It may be spirits of judgment, angels. Family, you know how embarrassing. Just I want y'all to picture this. You're gonna see some of your relatives while you going into paradise. You're going to see some of your closest relatives be dragged by the collar of angels away, kicking and screaming, sobbing, crying, dragged away from paradise and preparing for judgment. I know for one thing, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to sit there and watch my daughter go walk into paradise and my ass getting dragged away by my collar or dragged away by my feet. You know how, fam, I don't even want to know that feeling. I'm scared to know that feeling. That's what having a natural fear of the Most High is. That's the whole point of the masterpiece of these words coming out now. It's to prepare you. Just like Enoch would go into town or to teach only those who would listen. He was instructed. He was called up to see all that we could never see or imagine in our lifetimes. He saw all of it, came down and said, hey, this is what's going to happen to a generation of men if y'all don't do this. And wouldn't you know, after that ark was built, they still came knocking on that door. So you understand the judgment, it turns over. There's nothing new under the sun. It turns over. Just like the waters washed them away, it's going to be somebody else washing them away in the end. Those who do not want to listen. This is the whole point, like I said before, of the foundation of this awakening. It's to take accountability for what your people have done so you can no longer be associated with your people, associated with a race, and associated where you come from. So you then can put on a new nation. You could be grafted in. You could be a new vine. You could be new fruit. You could be a new cluster. With your works intact, you can do this. Because I said before, once they start dragging, you're going to see relatives, bloodline relatives being dragged away. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to stop it. Nothing. You can't pray. You can't beg. You saw what Enoch did when the angels tried to get him. Hey, man, can you go tell the Most High I'm sorry? And the Most High already knew. You came up here to to ask for forgiveness for them, didn't you? Tell them no. What they will do, you're gonna make your children that you created with these women, you're gonna stir them up and you're gonna watch your children die. You think Most High ain't playing? Did you not know that they went out there and did it? Did you not know all them giants and all that, they made them fight each other? They made them destroy each other? These angels who had pride in their children, the sons, the fathers, they didn't know what it like to, I'm pretty sure when the Most High made them, they had like some spiritual right or some spiritual authority to end them to want to create something themselves, to have children. I don't blame them. I mean, I blame them for being stupid, but I don't blame them because obviously if you knew the love that the Most High gave those angels and they, what do you usually do when you're loved good? Don't you want to turn around and give that love to somebody else? So if you come into the masterpiece of the Ruach, don't you feel that love? You feel that joy? What's one of the things some of you are dying to do? Some of you don't want to be in groups, but you're dying to be in groups. Why? Because you want to share that love. You look in the right now, it feels lonely to you because right now you feel so much love and compassion. You want to spread that love and compassion to anybody who wants to listen. So imagine the same Ruach and the same spirit that these angels had, that they wanted to create something themselves. They wanted to fall in love. But the Most High didn't give them that blessing. That was not what their station in life was. That's not what their lot in life was. So he told Enoch, no, you tell them that you're going to have your children destroyed and you're going to watch your children die. So imagine in the end of all of this is done. We are going to watch our own relatives be dragged away. Even if we try to warn them today, even if you told them to listen to this podcast, it would be nothing to stop them. It's whatever the Most High knows is going to happen to them, it's going to happen regardless. Because let me go back. When we talk about parables, because by hearing, they will not hear and shall not understand. Even though they see it, they still shall not perceive. Why? Let's go to 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should turn back, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For amen, I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men had desired to see those things which ye see and had not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and had not heard them. That is the whole parable of the story. That's it. So if they didn't listen to Yahusha in his day, and only select people, this is exactly what's going to happen in these times. This is the whole point of the fake prophecy playing out. So everybody's ears will stop and it'll be waxed gross. That's the whole point of entertainment. That's the whole point of numerology. It's all to keep you away and locked in this system, locked in this matrix. And the only ones who are outside of this matrix are the ones who prefer the masterpiece over the cheap copy. I'll see y'all next week.